Hey, it's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, you've heard about Comic-Con, but what about Coffee-Con? We'll learn about the coffee festival happening in the Midwest this weekend.
First, there's debate going on in Washington over transportation funding right now, as a bill that guarantees federal funding to state transportation departments is about to expire. One reporter investigated some of the transportation funding issues in Wisconsin as an illustration of the larger national picture.
Michael Grunwald joins us now to talk about his piece titled Overpasses, a Love Story. He's the editor-at-large for The Agenda at Politico. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, looking at transportation issues from a national perspective, what caught your eye about Wisconsin?
Well, I think the what first drew me to the Wisconsin part of the story is this notion that this one city of Milwaukee had $7 billion worth of mega projects for its freeways, in the immediate vicinity. That just kind of jumped at me, these incredible interchanges where I went to see the Marquette interchange, which was a marvel of its day way back, in 2008 when it was completed. It was by far the largest highway project in Wisconsin's history. And now there are three bigger ones right around it. I mean, it was $800 million. You've got a $1.7 billion project just a couple miles away. So that was sort of what instantly attracted me to the story was this, you hear so much about how, our infrastructure is falling apart. We're not investing in our infrastructure. Well, clearly some money is being invested in Wisconsin. What I later found out as I came to see was that, yes, you're doing these huge infrastructure projects, but at the same time, there are a lot of problems with local roads. There's incredible disinvestment in transit, which made for a pretty rich story.
Yeah, let's talk about that new highway project construction, mega projects, you called them, versus keeping the roads we have in shape. How far have we gone in that one direction in Wisconsin? How do we stack up compared to the rest of the country?
Well, there was a study by Smart Growth America, went through lots of different states, and they found that Wisconsin is spending basically 61% of its highway dollars on new capacity, so new highways or new lanes or kind of new bells and whistles for existing highways, and only 39% on maintenance of the roads. And I mentioned in the story that 71% of Wisconsin's roads, according to federal data, is in either poor or mediocre condition. So it's not like there wouldn't be a use for that money on the roads that you've already got.
And then when we build a new road, and I hadn't really thought of it exactly this way, that also has to be maintained. That goes on that list of maintenance projects for the future.
Exactly. And so, sort of fiscally, the more you build, when you've got a maintenance backlog, the more you're setting yourself behind. Wisconsin's approach in the last couple decades, and it's really accelerated under Governor Walker, has been to put it on the credit card. We'll keep building, we'll float bonds and borrow the money to pay for it. We won't have to raise taxes. We're not even going to index the gas tax to inflation anymore. And, so as a result, the percentage of your transportation dollars that goes to debt service has quadrupled since 2000. You're now paying 17, 18 cents on every dollar just on interest on your bonds. Governor Walker's proposal would have jacked that up to 25 cents, and that's when the Republicans in the legislature sort of said, hey, wait, that's a little bit too rich for our blood.
Well, the basic argument for new road or highway construction is generally we have too much traffic now, demand is going to keep going up in the future. Do those arguments check out when you look at these projects in Wisconsin?
Well, it's funny. I was in Milwaukee and Madison for a few days, and I mentioned in the story that I basically only had to tap my brakes once, where there was a lane closure during rush hour in Milwaukee, which some people I've heard call rush minute. Certainly compared to other metropolitan areas, you guys do not have a big traffic problem. There is some congestion, but I spoke to former Mayor Norquist of Milwaukee, who then went to run the Congress for the New Urbanism, and he said, who's done an awesome job of reducing their congestion? Detroit. basically the, you know, they've driven all the population out of the city, and now there's plenty of room on the freeways. So there is a sort of modest congestion issue, but it's not clear that building new roads really fixes them. And what you guys recently had a really kind of a case with national significance where a federal judge looked at a highway expansion that was planned for, I guess, in Sheboygan, and said, like, well, you know, where's your data for this? They were projecting, I think it was a 50% increase in traffic by 2040, even though traffic had been declining over the last decade or so. So I think there's a real question. And nationally, Americans are not driving as much as they used to, whether it's because the baby boomers aging, millennials not being as into driving, being more into sort of urbanism and living downtown. You even have this future issue where you could have driverless cars that aren't going to need as much highway to fit as many cars. There have been some real questions about these unbelievably expensive mega projects. You know, the talk about expanding I-94 just between those two big interchanges would be like $250 million per mile. I mean, you know, $250 million here, $250 million there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Talking to Michael Grunwald with Politico, looking at highway funding in Wisconsin. Well, when I say highway funding, Michael, you also look at transportation funding more generally. Money is going into these big highway projects, not into public transportation. Can you tell that story here in Wisconsin?
Well, it's funny. I mentioned that, you know, in many states, you've got these regional transportation authorities that are underfunded. In Wisconsin, they're illegal. And there's really been at the state level a kind of hostility to public transit that's, you know, partly driven by the kind of drive time conservative talk radio in the Milwaukee area, which has really portrayed a lot of these transit projects as kind of Marxism and socialism and, you know, boondoggles for leeches. But as a result, I mean, since the 1990s, you had a big proposal to have light rail connecting the city to the suburbs, and that was killed. Then you had a plan for commuter rail to the south suburbs, and that was killed. You, of course, had Governor Walker killed Obama's high-speed rail project between Milwaukee and Madison. And so here you have Milwaukee, which is one of, if not the most segregated metropolitan area in the country. There have been studies showing that it has some of the biggest disparities on economic and racial issues. And essentially there's no public transportation connecting the city to the job growth in the suburbs. And that's certainly, you know, it's not like the only cause of these kind of divisions, but they certainly reinforce each other.
Yeah, talk about that a little more. You talked to some people, especially in the Milwaukee area, about this idea that transportation reinforces segregation and inequities in income and job opportunities. How is that playing out on the ground?
Well, I think one example is I went with some of the road builders who were showing me how these freeways really do, they really are economic engines. And one example they showed me was out in Pleasant Prairie, where they're improving the interchange, and voila, you've got Amazon coming with 2,500 jobs at a distribution center. You know, what the kind of critics would say is like, well, that's nice, but it's just sort of promoting these kind of sprawl development patterns. And as Mandela Barnes, who's a state representative from an African-American community in North Milwaukee, said, it's like, well, you know, how are my constituents, particularly the ones who don't have cars, how are they supposed to get to Pleasant Prairie? I had a Latino activist was telling me that, you know, in some of these projects, they're actually reducing exits to the downtown areas in his community. So there is there's a basic mismatch between where the jobs are and how people can get them. As there have been these cuts in transit and trains, the service has gotten worse, and which makes for an even better argument for cutting it. And there's this kind of death spiral, kind of vicious cycle, where transit keeps getting worse, so there's more disinvestment, so transit keeps getting worse, and the divisions that are, you know, between the people who have, you know, these social and economic problems in the city and the suburbs who have the jobs and the technical colleges, those kind of gaps are continuing to grow.
As you look at the national conversation, what you saw here in Wisconsin, is there a substantial movement to change some of these priorities, or are we on this road and going to stay on it for a while?
Well, I think nationally, I mean, Washington has always been this kind of pass-through for transportation dollars, where, you know, Washington writes the checks, and as long as you're doing the right traffic studies and you're paying the prevailing wage, the state transportation departments can pretty much do whatever they want with the money. I did talk about how in some states you're starting to see some movement towards reform, an emphasis on fix it first, kind of more maintaining highways rather than building new ones, sending money to metropolitan planning organizations, which tend to be a little bit less wild about concrete than some of the state DOTs. At the federal level, there's, you know, most of the arguments are about how much money are we going to spend, where are we going to find the money to pay for it all, you know, how long is the latest extension of the transportation bill going to be. They're not really about these kind of deep issues about how we're actually spending the money. One thing I mentioned is that at the University of Wisconsin, where you are, there's this State Smart Transportation Initiative, which is really considered a kind of national leader in transportation reform, is now advising 20 states, including Wisconsin's three neighbors, but not including Wisconsin.
We'll leave it there. Michael, thanks so much for joining us today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
That was Michael Grunwald, editor-at-large for The Agenda at Politico, with us to talk about his piece investigating transportation funding in Wisconsin, headlined Overpasses, A Love Story.